If you have not yet guessed, today is Transfiguration Sunday, and I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and went up to a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one there except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Holy and loving God, by the power of your Spirit, remind us of your faithful presence. Remind us of your glory that brings us awe. Remind us, O God, to have open eyes and open ears, to hear and to see you more clearly. Let the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth bring glory unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I cannot hear this story or tell this story of the Transfiguration without remembering this experience that I had. This experience was instrumental in my following the call into ministry. I used to go to this festival in Pennsylvania called Creation. It was a creation festival, and they would have music around the clock, and they would have speakers around the clock. And there I was at this concert series at this event, and I needed to be by myself. I needed some alone time. I needed to journal. I felt God stirring something in my heart, and I wasn't quite sure what was up with that, and I wasn't quite sure what God was trying to say. So I needed to withdraw from the crowd. And so I withdrew from the crowd into my tent. We were tenting on the side of a mountain, and the concert venues were inside the valley of the sides of these mountains. And there I was in my tent, my flimsy little two-person tent, with my flashlight, journaling and writing, and suddenly there was a thunderstorm. I'm all alone on the side of this mountain in the middle of this thunderstorm with lightning and thunder and the rain and the wind, and everything was shaking my tent, and I'm in my tent, and I'm praying. Now I'm praying. I'm thinking about the metal bars. I'm thinking about, do I get out of my tent? Do I stay in my tent? What is one to do in that kind of situation and in that moment? So I decided to stay in the tent, and I kept journaling because I felt this nudge not to be afraid, that it's okay, Heather. It's just a thunderstorm, and you're in a tent. It's okay. So as I continued to journal, I continued to write all the ways that I felt God was inspiring and calling to my heart. And suddenly I felt this voice. I did not hear, the clouds did not open up, and I did not hear this voice in the middle of the thunderstorm. It was one of those internal voices, you know, the kind that speaks silently in your heart, and you get this nudging and this motion and this movement in your heart. And God was saying to me, "Heather, it is I who is calling you to go into ministry." Up until this point, I just thought it was my own idea. I just thought it sounded really cool. And it was something I really wanted to do all of my life, as long as I could remember. So in that moment, the clarity of, "Heather, it's I am, is calling you to take this step. I cannot hear this story of the transfiguration in the moment that Jesus was transformed without thinking of that transformative moment in my life. The story starts off with 6 days later. I always, whenever a scripture reading starts off like that, I wonder, what happened 6 days ago? Why is it so important to say 6 days later? 6 days ago, Peter and Jesus had that strange encounter. That strange encounter when suddenly Peter proclaims, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You are Christ. You are the Messiah. And then a few moments later, Jesus talks about his upcoming suffering, death, and resurrection. And at that moment, Peter was like, oh, no, no, Jesus. And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And it's a very strange encounter that they have. So this happened 6 days ago. 6 days ago, before the presence of God showed up on that mountain, 6 days before that, Jesus talks about his impending suffering, death, and resurrection. So in the middle of that, and his journey that will be coming to Jerusalem, God shows up. In the middle of all of that uncertainty that's about to unfold in their lives, God shows up on that mountain as a symbol of hope and as a symbol for the people to remind them that when they go down from the mountain, God's presence will still be with them. This mountain is significant. The mountain reminds the people of Moses and Moses' encounter with God when his face shone on the top of Mount Sinai. So the readers, the hearers of this first story would have had some familiarity with all of this mountain talk. God shows up indeed on the mountain. God shows up too in the valleys of our lives. God shows up on the mountain to remind us that when we do walk through the valleys and the pits and those divots in our walk and on our journey and in our life, that God will still show up. The mountaintop reminds us of that hope and that truth. The appearance of Moses and Elijah are also a symbol for the people. The appearance of Moses and Elijah tell the people who are witnessing this at that moment that Jesus is there to fulfill the law and the prophets. Not to abolish them, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And there he stands with Moses and Elijah. Could you imagine being Peter, James, or John in this moment? You see the glory of God. All of this is just a background. It's just a background for the glory of God to be seen by the people. It's a background to God's main event, where the glory is upon Jesus and the divinity of Jesus is made known to the people and to us in this moment when God's glory shines. God's glory shows up there on that mountain to give the people hope and to remind them of God's presence and God's glory that they are called to live into and to live out of in their lives. No wonder they wanted to stay there, though. You get Peter's response, right? So far, all he knows is this person that he has loved, followed, prayed with, ate with, saw miracles, did all these things with. All he knows is suddenly this man, Jesus, is going to have to suffer, die, and be resurrected. That's what he knows, that Jesus has told him is coming. Who would want to leave that glorious moment and the light of the living God to go down into the world in order to see the sufferings that are about to take place? God gives us these mountaintop moments lest we forget that there are signs of hope and love that are visible in the world. But we have to come down from that mountain. We have to come down from that place where we experience the living God, like the disciples had to come down. They couldn't stay there on that mountain. And the voice of God speaks. The voice of God speaks and says, "This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. At this, we remember the voice that came out of the clouds at Jesus' baptism. that proclaim the same thing. At this, we also see the disciples are filled with fear and awe, and they fall to the ground. And what does Jesus do? Jesus touches them and reminds them, do not be afraid. I think that the touching them in the midst of this story, in the midst of God's glory, in the midst of the divinity of Christ, is the humanity of Jesus. It is in our human DNA, or our touch is a very important part of the healing process. It is for me. It is for me. So I became a toucher a little late in my lifetime. I'm a little touchy-feely, or as my daughter would say, I'm a soft shell person. I have absolutely no idea where she gets this understanding of humanity being either a hard shell person or a soft shell person. I'm a soft shell person because I can't take things very well, or I can't take what I consider insulting very well. Michaela is a hard shell, but I'm more touchy-feely. And so for me, the touch is really, really important in this story and in my life. I had this one moment when I was carrying Michaela outside of a store, and she was on my hip, and I fainted. And somebody came and helped me up, and I went home, and then I had to go to the doctor's. And when I went to the doctor's, I had an EEG. And that EEG showed an abnormality in my brain. So now, I have decided what exactly that abnormality is. I planned my funeral service, I wrote my will, I did all sorts of things, and I did all sorts of research and examined what this could possibly be in the 2 weeks that I had to wait to see the neurologist. I had it all planned. I had it all figured out. Don't we do that sometimes? When you're waiting for test results, it is the most anxiety-provoking time ever. So in the midst of that valley, in the midst of all that angst and that doubt and that uncertainty, a friend of mine came over and brought me a meal. She came over, she brought me a meal, she sat down at my table, she held my hands, she prayed with me in that moment. In that moment. God's glory shows up on the mountaintops, but God's glory also shows up in the midst of our valleys, bringing us a meal, touching us, reminding us in the simple and in the magnificent that God's presence is with us always. God's healing love and mercy is with us always. God shows up. Do we have the eyes to receive it? And the ears to hear it, and then to have the courage to listen to what God has to say for us. This is the Transfiguration. This is Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday in between, the Sunday right before we start our journey to Jerusalem. May we remember that God shows up in the midst of that valley, in the midst of our wandering, in the midst of our stirring, our confusion, and our uncertainty, to bring to us hope and life and light. As we journey together this Lenten season, may we do so with open eyes and open ears so that we can get glimpses of God's glory and hear moments when God speaks to our hearts. May we do so together with joy and remembrance that there is hope. Amen.